Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. Do you have two birthdays? I know you have one because you're listening, but have you had a second day of birth? The day on which you were born the second time, born anew, born into the family of God, in that you were made a child of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us in the gospel according to John chapter 3 that you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, if the Lord Jesus says that you must be born again and you have not been born again, and he has said you must be born again, then if you are not born again, then what are you? You are in error. You're in disobedience to God. You must be born again. There is no alternative. The Lord did not say some of you must be born again. You must be born again. And notice, he makes this statement to a man who was very religious, a man who was very sincere, and a man who no doubt had a pretty good moral testimony before his friends, before his colleagues. He certainly needed to be born again because the Lord said it. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again, I ask, have you experienced your second birth, so that you would have a second birthday? That has to take place in order for a person to be a Christian. If you have not experienced a new birth, if you have not had your second birth, then you are not saved. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. You must be born again in order to see, to enter, to be a part of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus himself says that, and since it is his, the kingdom belongs to him, he can tell you what the requirements are for entering into that kingdom. You cannot tell him that you've gotten a committee together, or that your priest told you something, or that your preacher told you something, or that your rector told you something, or that some other quote-unquote religious advisor told you something and you're going on their word. If they go contrary to what the Lord Jesus himself has said, then they are contrary to him and they themselves are leading you in the wrong direction. The Lord Jesus says you must be born again. And this is something of which you will have a knowledge when that new birth took place. Now, I don't know when I was born. I know what the records say. I know what my mother tells me. I know what my father told me. I know what my birth certificate says. I can't remember those things. I take them at their word. But I know when I was born again. I was born again in May of 1973, the day when I recognized I was a sinner and called out to the Lord Jesus for salvation. I'm not the only one who knows that. There are other Christians, many Christians, who know, and I will go on to say, however, that there are some Christians who don't know the exact date, but they know that they put their faith and trust in Christ and have been born again. Now, it is not something that you can say, well, I think I might be. Well, you know whether or not you've accepted Christ as your Savior. So get your second birthday today by putting your faith and trust in Christ. If you don't know, trust him today. Ask him to save you. Believe on his work on the cross for you, and he'll save you. Father, we ask thee to save some soul today. Speak to some heart. Empower us by thy grace to serve for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let's continue on now in the book of Genesis, and we've been looking at the life of Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah. And just looking at something here, the family was divided. The sons are now at odds. They have been at odds one with another. And now the parents are going to show their full force and their loyalty and love for each of the two children, separately so. And in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 27, after Isaac had said to Esau that he wanted him to make him some savory meats that he loved, Rebekah, overhearing this conversation, says to Esau, your brother, he's gone out in the field now. I want you to do this. I want you to listen to me carefully. And I want you to go now to the flocks and bring me from those flocks two good kids, young goats, kids of the goats. And this is what I want you to do with that. I want you to make them savory meat. I will make savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And on the previous program, we told you that she certainly knew what her husband liked, how to prepare the meal to his taste, and how to make the food taste like he wanted it to. And so she did that. And the son, Jacob, said, but mother, my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Now, this man wasn't really ready to admit that he was a deceiver. He said, I will seem to him as a deceiver. You know, there are many people who are not willing to face the music, face the facts. When you add 1 plus 1 and you keep coming up with 2, you've got 2 numbers, right? The total is there. The report is there. Like the person said, if he looks like a duck, he walks like a duck, he quacks like a duck, he's a duck. And Jacob, if you steal, if you deceive, if you employ trickery and to get your own purpose, you're a deceiver. Don't wonder and don't think that you'll seem like. You see, you can tell yourself one thing and the fact can be another. You can tell yourself that you're not that bad, because you're comparing yourself with something that's worse. Or if you want to say, well, at least I haven't done such and such a thing. Well, that doesn't change the facts of what you really are. You're comparing yourself with the wrong person, the wrong thing, the wrong group. You want to see how, as I told you some time ago, it's been quite a while since I've used this illustration, but when I was in grade school, I don't remember exactly what grade, around 5th or 6th grade. May have even been earlier than that. But the principal of the school came into the classroom one day and just talking with us, and he said, how can you tell if a stick is crooked? And, you know, I'm listening to him, and my cousin spoke up and said, you put a straight stick beside it. And the principal was really excited about that answer that was given. I was excited that my cousin knew what the answer to that was. How can you tell if a crooked stick is straight? Or how can you tell if a stick is crooked or not? You put a straight stick beside it. Well, that has meant much to me down through the years, because you want to know what the real matter of the situation is. Look for the straight stick. Now, the Word of God is the straight stick for human behavior, for devilish behavior. You compare any kind of behavior with what God says is all right, and you will see how far off the behavior is. Never get away from the straight stick of God's Word. And Jacob is saying, I shall seem unto him to be a deceiver. Now, he was comparing himself by himself. Or he may have been comparing himself with other people. And in either case, he has got the wrong standard of measurement. If you want to measure properly, then you must use the straight stick of God's Word. And so here he says, Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, my brother is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. So there is a great difference between the two of them. And he is also aware of what the possibility of the great loss that he will incur. Instead of a blessing, he shall incur a curse. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Now she was really willing to see to it that this son forged ahead of the other, to the point that she was willing to bear his curse. Now, did she believe that a curse would actually fall upon her, or was she saying this just so that she could soothe his mind? I believe she believed it, number one, and I believe she did it just to get her son to participate with her 100%. And thirdly, perhaps she may have felt like, well, I'm doing a spiritual thing, and there is no such thing as a curse that's going to fall on us. But she did tell him to do this. Obey my voice and go fetch me them. Listen now. Do this right away. Don't delay. So she saw the urgency of this matter. And as we said before, this to me indicates that she had a measure of faith. She misunderstood what the Lord had already said, and either she was trying to work God's purpose, just as Sarah was trying to work God's purpose in getting a son to Abraham. Verse 15, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. So she is now moved on into another phase of her act of deception. She knows the clothing, how the smell of one boy's clothing smells differently from that of another. The one who works outside, who eats a different type of meat, the perspiration in his body is going to make his clothing smell differently. And so the father knows that, knows how one smells. And so she puts the clothing upon the other. And then next thing she does, after this, verse 16, she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his necks. So she knew the logic that her husband would follow in examining the sons. She knew how he would come to his conclusions. And that's another thing, fellas. Your wife knows how you put together things. And woe unto the man who has a crooked wife. But blessed be the man who has a good wife, who knows how to support and strengthen and encourage him. When I mean a crooked wife, I'm talking about one who uses that knowledge of her husband to deceive her husband. And woe unto the man who knows his wife's weaknesses and uses those weaknesses to manipulate her and to control her. That is not godly in either case. Both of those are wicked things. In this case, this woman goes on and she makes everything very easy for her husband to be deceived by one of his children. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? Well, he is back now and ready to move into the next phase, but we'll have to wait until the next broadcast to take up on this. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless this broadcast today. Glorify thyself, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville. The zip code is 29609. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.